joining us, as he does every Tuesday, on a Tommy Tuesday on Jones and Keefe. WEEI is Tommy Curran. NBC Sports Boston is brought to you by D'Angelo's Sandwiches, New England Sandwich Shop, and our sandwich shop on Tuesdays. We just ripped apart a number nine here as a show. FlexCar, save thousands with your flexible car lease at flexcar.com. And by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. If you're hearing this, chances are you're less than 20 minutes away from the closest Awaken 180, a once-a-week lunch break, a quick stop on the way from work, minutes away from proven weekly weight loss, Awaken180weightloss.com. Tommy Curran, we apologize for running late. We were elbows deep in Halloween candy is what we were talking about. The important stuff, you know?
100%. And Kit Kats must be in the mix.
They were goat tier. Yeah. They were goat tier.
Good.
All right. That's your go-to? Is that your pick?
Yeah, but I mean, the older you get, the more discerning you become about chocolate,
yeah.
I find. So I've kind of become a chocolate snob. If it's not Dove, Ghirardelli, Lindt, I'm really interested.
Is that what your hand?
I know,
is that what the Currens hand out?
No.
No, oh, God, no. No, he saves those.
You save those for yourself, I see.
Yeah, no, we're going to squirrel those away for Tommy, yeah.
Perfect. Well, the Patriots squirreled away a win this past week. Is this a one-off? I know you wrote about this at NBC Sports Boston. The Jets are such a disaster, or is this something they can build off of?
It has to at least kind of stanch the bleeding, and I think that's what they needed badly. Someone mentioned on our post-game show, you know, what does this do for Mayo? And I said, basically, it's a block of driftwood in a raging sea that I think the team was able to jump on and cling to. How long they were able to hold to the driftwood and continue to have at least positive outcomes, we'll see. I mean, we all understand that the Jets were very complicit in that loss, but it doesn't really matter. They're not at a point where you can have caveats attached to, well, it wasn't that impressive. They need any kind of positivity, and they have a team that lost 52-14 on Sunday. So coming up on Sunday in the Tennessee Titans. So, you know, they can make some hay, I would suppose.
When Drake May got hurt, and after the game, Mayo said that, hey, you know, maybe he's going to do a better job protecting himself. Jones and I were both kind of surprised by that, because there are certain examples where you see quarterbacks. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo kind of famously did that, trying to get an extra yard on the sideline. Some guys dive head first. Drake May was sliding, and he picked up a first. Like, I thought it was a good play, and that was the safe play. What did you make of those comments after the game?
I think that, again, it might be an instance with Gerard when he's commenting after the game without doing a full breakdown of what he might have seen. I don't know what Drake May could have possibly done differently. It wasn't a face-on blow that he said, oh, I'm going to try and just get this last yard here, and then I'll slide, inviting the hit. He was kind of stumbling. The guy was coming from his blind side. It was a later slide than you would ideally think, but I don't think you could really see the guy coming from the direction he was. I wonder what Gerard would say, and maybe we can ask him tomorrow as to what he saw from May that needs correcting on that, because, you know, he has a tendency sometimes to say, okay, well, we saw this. But I think when you do break it down, there's very little he could have done. I don't know what he would have done differently.
Yeah. Talking to Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston, and it's time now for Tom's Flex of the Game, presented by FlexCar.
Already?
Yeah, you can ditch the dealership.
Early flex.
And save thousands with FlexCar. I thought we'd switch it up this week, Tom. What's your Flex of the Game?
My Flex of the Game is Jacoby Brissett in general, and then his post-game flex about redemption and the lack thereof. I mean, I think he is entitled to have his nose out of joint about the conversation surrounding him that I took part in. He was tethered to a horrific situation that only got worse when the season began. So he did have a right to be miffed about being summarily benched in favor of Drake May. As realistic as we all understood what the Patriots situation was, as realistic as we all were about it, and as well as Drake May has played, I think that the conversation around Jacoby, that, again, I engaged in plenty of his inability to make quick decisions and take sacks and play too cautiously, he has a right to stand up there. So it wasn't a bad flex, in my opinion, by Jacoby Brissett to say, I'm not as bad as you guys all think I am.
How much credit do you give Alex Van Pelt for the uptick in scoring over the last 3 weeks?
I give the entire group a fair amount of credit. I'm again, not breaking out the sheet cake about it.
No.
But to seeing how bad they were, and I would include Scott Peters in the offensive line a lot. When you look at that offensive line that they started, Vidarian Lowe was not supposed to be your starting left tackle. Michael Jordan was not supposed to be the left guard. We didn't even know him. Ben Brown was not supposed to be your starting center. On when it was, where it was supposed to be, and DeMontre Jacobs was not supposed to be a right tackle. So you have to give credit to the fact that that group only allowed 2 sacks on Sunday, held up pretty well, managed okay on some short yards. They weren't rototilling people on the ground, but they opened enough holes against a very good front. So I give credit to Van Pelt, Scott Peters, the offensive linemen themselves, and I give Van Pelt credit for, again, the development of May. I really do. And I give Brissett all the credit in the world for individually just kind of sucking it up, dealing with a crappy situation for this year. We'll see what happens next year with him. And just coming out and performing like a professional.
Patriots made a trade yesterday. Joshua Uche to the Kansas City Chiefs for a 6th rounder in 2026. What do you think of the trade, and how active do you think the Patriots will be between now and the deadline?
He just hasn't been a good fit here, as Belichick pointed out on the Pat McAfee show. When you have a team that's behind, and this happened with Uche last year as well, he barely played. There were games where he was down around 20 snaps, 15 snaps. And that's because the team was behind. And he is a situational pass rusher. He's a small guy for an edge player. He does get off the ball extremely fast. He can bend. It's too bad that the team wasn't able to find a role for him, because, you know, there were some Brewski-like rushing tendencies that I saw from Josh Uche over the period of the 3 years he was here. But really, when you look at his production, it was a 3-game stretch where he went absolutely berserk in 2022, and I think he had like 7 or 8 sacks. But other than that, they haven't been able to find a role for him. So he can go be an Elvis Dumervil for the Kansas City Chiefs, but there should be no rock kicking here if he performs well there. He's a liability against the run, and they couldn't put him on the field because of his being undersized.
Where do you – any other moves you think up Elliot Wolf's sleeve? I think more likely departures, but any chance they're looking to bring somebody in?
I'd say departures would be more likely, but can you guys really summon anybody who would have value elsewhere to a team?
So no, I don't think they have much value.
Bourne, Godchow?
Yeah, to me it's more
Bourne, Osborne, or Godchow, right?
Yeah, and it's more about opportunity. Like I don't for the guys that are left, and like maybe breaking up a logjam rather than it is like, oh, you might be able to get like a 7th. Like I think if you move on from Bourne and Osborne, all right, now we have to see Baker play. We have to see, you know, Polk and Pop and all the booty. Like those guys have to play. So I just went plus. You know, a guy like KJ Osborne clearly seems unhappy. I think Kendrick Bourne is a, you know, good, solid professional, maybe the only one in that entire position group. But,
right. You
know, he could definitely be traded as well.
Yeah, but it's hard to push away from the table on those guys when you do need stability in your locker room at this juncture. And honestly, I think overall, the stability lent by Godshaw and Bourne is not the stability we would have necessarily sought, I think, during the Bill Belichick regime. Because Godshaw will basically say anything. And
yeah,
whether my teammates are selfish, Aaron Rodgers can't play, guys are out there doing their own thing, guys quit. I mean, he is leading in a fashion, but it's a little bit of a flamethrower fashion to a degree. But he is a talented enough player where I would say, okay, we'll keep him here because he gives a crap. Same thing with Bourne. I don't know if it was necessarily to the good. I think it's great for us. We find out that the wide receivers are immature. But as a leader, I think he's trying to hold guys' feet to the fire. But I think within the locker room, they're like, what are you doing? You're killing us here.
No, it's fair.
But I would keep them. Mm-hmm. Osborne can go. I just don't know what his market would be. And if you're going to add somebody, just make sure he's just a card-carrying professional football player, a professional football player. Just takes the job seriously.
Yeah, they got a lot of those in the wide receiver room these days. So I'm curious, Tom, we were kicking this around earlier. Both Keith and I would go right back to Drake May the second he's ready. I'm assuming he's not going to play this week. Maybe that's a faulty assumption by me. Concussion protocol, difficult for any player to clear, never mind a quarterback.
You're right. You're
in
right
a week.
About that.
And so I'm assuming he's not going to play. Let's say they win against Tennessee, and they won last week against the Jets, and Jacoby Brissett was their starter week one. He's got 3 wins and 2 in a row. Is there any chance he keeps the job beyond this week?
I'm just going to go on default and say you play your best player, and we can tell that Drake May is their best player. So if they didn't go back to a fully cleared Drake May, that would really make me say, well, why would you not do that unless you're trying to tank? And Jacoby's not going to go out there and lose games on purpose. So I would think that that would cause an undue amount of consternation, to put it mildly, as to, like, we've all seen he's probably, you know, let's not get overboard here, Tom, but he's probably one of the top 12 to 22 quarterbacks in the league already. That might be aggressive. Is that aggressive?
No, well, it's actually not. We were doing this.
It's just a wide
day.
Range, 12 and 22.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah,
I think
yeah.
Keith said earlier.
Well, I
didn't
want to go crazy.
I think Keith said 16.
16. Well, I think
Keith,
16.
Keith said 16. That would basically split your difference. So I think you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, if you're going to. And Jacoby's probably 32nd to 35th.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing? No, I would say you go right back to him when he's cleared.
Jalen Polk obviously is off to a really bad start to his career, and I thought he should have sat the London game, and he didn't, and it got a little bit worse, but then he got a concussion, and so he missed this past week. Is that a guy you think they would just throw right back into the lineup when he's healthy, or is there something to be said for him maybe, you know, taking a couple of weeks off?
I'd put him back in there. It can't continue. And I would just continue firing balls at him like I'm a jugs machine.
Yep.
Just get him through it. Just keep throwing it to him. He is not – I mean, I remember saying at the end of camp when we were just, you know, idly talking on Early Edition about different players, and I would say, look, I haven't seen Jalen Polk drop a ball the entire camp. So he's a very dependable player. He's in the places that he seems to be. The team believes in him, so that's a check mark for him. And so this is, to me, just – completely out of character in terms of the hand situation. So I would say throw him back in the pool, throw him the ball, keep throwing him the ball, get him out of it.
One more. Any better read on what went down in London? Patriots have been very cagey about it, but some players have spoke about it. I know your colleague Phil Perry reported on it. Mike Reese reported on it. Any greater understanding on what went down in London with that wide receiver group?
I think it was a missed curfew, as still reported with Javon Baker. I don't think it was an extreme out until 4 a.m. missed curfew, but it's a 9:30 game our time, and I think, you know, it was an early game. I don't know what the time deal was, but it wasn't extreme. I think it was well before midnight is what my understanding is, but it was still a missed curfew. So that's my best estimate of what it was. But, you know, when Kendrick Bourne spoke, it seemed to encompass a hell of a lot more than just, hey, somebody was out a little bit late. It seemed to encompass attention to health, attention to nutrition, attention to detail, which we've seen the attention to detail is really lacking with the group as it is, and the attention to self-awareness. So hopefully they can work on those things. But that's my, just from Phil's reporting on that.
Okay, he's Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston. It's Tommy Tuesday, every Tuesday here on Jones and Keefe. He's got Quick Slants tonight on NBC Sports Boston. He'll be on with WEEI Afternoon's Arcand and Hart on Thursday, so tune in for that. Tom, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.